Saint, Sand and Sea Trail. Number 1. Introduction. Crashing plates created the Newborough landscape. Our walk takes us on a unique journey back in time and shows you the whole story of the creation and eventual destruction of an entire tectonic plate, one of the large pieces of the Earth's outer layer or crust that fit together like loose pieces of a jigsaw puzzle around the planet. Think of a hard-boiled egg. Ever seen one with lots of cracks in it? Think of this as the Earth, and the cracks as where all the plates meet. The area where two plates meet is called a plate boundary. The shell pieces can shift around a little on top of the egg underneath. Think of the egg underneath the shell as the mantle of the Earth, the layer beneath the crust. These plates can slip around on top of the Earth's mantle, just like the cracked egg shell does on the egg. Thanks to eHow.com for this explanation. From molten lava spewing from the Earth's core at the bottom of the sea to the enormous collision that twisted and melted rocks when two tectonic plates smashed into each other, forcing one down back into a deep ocean trench. Meet some local legends along the way that give this place a renowned mix of beauty, mystery and spirituality. Number 2. A haven for red squiddles. This is a good place to see signs of red squiddles. Look out for chewed cones and discarded scales on the forest floor as the squiddles systematically work through the cone, removing scales to get to the nutritious pine seed. Keep an eye on the treetops and you may be lucky enough to get a glimpse of our elusive friend jumping from tree to tree. Newborough is home to a healthy population of red squiddles, but it hasn't always been this way. Before the forest was here, this area was bare sand dune, and it took about 20 years from when the forest was planted in the 50s for the squiddles to move in. Then, with increasing competition for food and the spread of grey squiddles, numbers declined to extinction in the early 1990s. This was the case until 2004, when reds were reintroduced and greys controlled to give the reds a chance. Today, over 100 red squiddles live in the forest. They're still fed to see them through difficult times, but we think it's worth it to ensure the future of one of our most well-known and loved woodland specialists. Number 3. Creating a forest from a desert. Creating a forest here has been a huge challenge and required a lot of patience and experimentation to achieve success in such difficult conditions. With strong salt-laden winds that can kill most trees and sandy soils that dry out so quickly, even choosing the right tree was a challenge. The forest was planted in the 1940s and 50s with the aim of providing jobs for soldiers returning from the war, timber for building, and to stabilise the dunes to try and stop the sand blowing into the village. The tree of choice was Corsican pine, as it grows in these conditions in its native range in Corsica and Italy. Not only does it grow, but it produces high-quality timber and is a testament to the dedicated and innovative foresters who constantly battle the conditions to get the trees planted and growing. One particular innovation was to arrange with the Council Roads Department to gather all the hedge trimmings from across Anglesey to spread over the ground to stabilise the sand and provide essential fertiliser as it rotted down. Lorry upon lorry delivered tons of hedge clippings, which not only helped give the trees a good start, but brought in a huge variety of wildflower seeds, which have found their home here, making the forest incredibly rich in wildlife. Number 4. Lava squeezed like toothpaste makes pillows. From this point all the way to Llanddwyn Island, you'll see rocky outcrops in between the trees and dunes. This is where it all began for Llanddwyn. Unbelievably, this area was once deep underwater in the middle of the ocean, when the seabed split, making a deep ocean trench, and lava spewed from the Earth's molten centre into the sea. As the boiling lava hit the freezing sea, it quickly cooled it and sealed it in the round blobs that you can see here, looking a bit like toothpaste that's been squeezed from a tube again and again. These are called pillow lavas. And as more and more lava hit the cold water, so the pillows stacked up one blob on top of the other, creating a huge rocky mass. The constant spewing from the Earth's core forced the rocks to move away from the trench, the powerful engine behind plate tectonics. Our continents were formed this way. Huge splits in the Earth's crust creating masses of rock, all being pushed away from where they were made, but all pushing in different directions. So eventually, they collide with dramatic consequences. Everest, the world's highest mountain, shows what can happen when two plates collide. The processes still go on today, on land and in the sea, and volcanoes usually form right on the edge of one of these plates, where the crust is thinner and the lava can force its way out. Number 5, Raven's Mega Roost. Newburgh is home to a huge raven colony, one of the biggest in the world. The birds love it here because the trees offer them a safe haven for the night and because there's so much good feeding ground around. From mountain tops and farmland to the beaches and woods, there's always an animal carcass somewhere around. We think that this is also one of the reasons why they come here to roost. They can communicate and swap information about where the best food is for the next day. This shows a level of intelligence and social interaction that makes this bird top of the class. We've known up to 2,000 birds here when they come in to roost at night. As the day draws to a close, listen as the cawing builds up when the birds come in. Their call sounds something like a pig's oink, so you can't mistake them. Not even Newburgh has flying pigs. During the day, you can watch them play on the thermals rising from the dunes. They're known for their acrobatics and have even been seen playing catch, where one bird will fly up and drop a stone and another swoop in below to catch it. Number 6. Building dunes to protect the forest. Part of the battle the Forestry Commission had in establishing the forest was stabilising the ever-shifting sand with a constant onshore wind. Somehow, we had to get some shelter from the wind. One bright forester came up with the idea of creating a massive false sand dune right across the seafront from Ynys Llanddwyn to the Matraeth estuary, nearly 1 mile long, to act as a windbreak. Amazingly, this was successfully achieved by building a fence to trap the sand when the wind blew it towards the forest. Soon this fence was buried into the sand and a second fence was built on top of the first fence, then a third, and so on until the false dune reached an impressive 20 metres. It's still here today, protecting the forest from the worst of the winds by pushing the wind up and over the treetops. Number 7. A giant sandy mixing bowl. Take a look back here. There are few places in the world where you can take in views of mountain, farmland, forest and sea. But that's not all, for the sea is constantly at work here, sculpting our shoreline. In fact, this part of the North Wales coast, from here round to the Llyn Peninsula across the bay, is like a giant mixing bowl, the ingredients being sand, sea and storms. In stormy weather, the beaches and dunes are scoured away, taking the sand out to sea and dumping it in long sandbars. As these are constantly shifting, they were a real hazard to shipping when the ports of Carnarvon, Bangor and Felinheli were vital for shipping slate from the quarries of Snowdonia. The Harbour Trust employed pilots to guide the ships through the sandbars and into port. The pilots lived in the cottages you will see at the end of the island next to two old lighthouses. From 1840 to 1903, the pilots also manned a lifeboat from here. Keep an eye out for the cannon that the men used to fire to summon help from Newburgh village. Continuing with the mixing bowl effect, the sand in the bay goes round in a circle with some storms dumping huge quantities of sand on land, as well as taking it away. The most dramatic storm on record was in 1331, when sand was swept up by the sea and ferocious storm winds and dumped across the Warren, burying houses and farms 1 mile inland. Before the forest was planted, sand regularly landed in Newburgh village itself, a good 2.5 miles from here. Before you move on, have a look at the rocks near the steps. The purple and green fragments are evidence of the explosion that opened the oceanic trench, when the red-hot lava hit the icy-cold seawater with such ferocity that it blew the rocks apart, clearing the way for the lava to flow onto the seabed and create the pillows. Number 8. Crashing plates create coloured rocks. The view back from here across this small bay tells the next part of the story of our tectonic plate. Look for the white and pink-coloured rocks rising from the beach. They tell us of a period of relative calm when the plate was pushed along the ocean floor, picking up sediments like mud, dead corals and shells. But if the calm had lasted, these rocks would be lying flat, but these are nearly vertical, giving us a clue that we're near the end of the plate where we smash into another plate heading towards us, and the collision begins pulling, pushing and twisting rocks, changing their shape and form. This is called metamorphism, and the colour bands show us the result of cooking and twisting different rocks. The red colour is from jasper, formed from a mix of iron-rich clay and tiny quartz crystals, compacted by the weight of tons of sediment building up at the bottom of the sea. Number 9. Santes Dwynwen, the Welsh Saint Valentine. Llanddwyn means the Church of Santes Dwynwen, the patron saint of Welsh lovers. This is the site of her convent, but the remains you see are the walls of a church built to accommodate visiting pilgrims in Tudor times. Her story is a sad tale. Dwynwen, the most beautiful of 24 daughters of Brychan Brycheiniog, a 5th century Welsh prince of Brecon, fell in love with a young man, Maelod Dafodril, but rejected his advances. Some think she had already committed herself to being a nun. Others, that her father pledged her to marry another. She prayed to God for help in this unhappy situation and dreamt that an angel gave her a potion that made her forget Maelon and turned him into a block of ice. She prayed again for 3 wishes, the first to thaw out Maelon, the second to see that all true lovers find happiness, and the third that she would never fall in love again or get married. All 3 came true, and she lived as a nun on Llanddwyn until she died in 645 AD. There is also a well here named after her that was said to have eels living in it that could predict the faithfulness of your lover. Enquirers would scatter breadcrumbs on the surface of the well and place a hanky over the top, and if the eels distributed the hanky, then it was sure that your loved one was faithful and true. Santes Dwynwen's Day is celebrated on the 25th of January, the Welsh St. Valentine. Number 10. The Cross, Lighthouse and Pilot's Cottages, Saving Lives at Sea. Soak up the atmosphere here, with a cross reminding us of the deep religious beliefs held by the seafarers who lived with the constant danger of an ever-changing and unpredictable sea. The Cross, Lighthouses, Pilot's Cottages and Lifeboat Station are all inextricably linked by the peril of the sea, a peril recorded in history. The lifeboats served here for 63 years and saved 101 lives in 35 incidents. The 2 lighthouses set up to mark the entrance to the straits are called Tŵr Bach and Tŵr Mawr. Tŵr Mawr, being more effective due to its size, was built in 1845 in the style of the windmills that Anglesey was once famous for, when the area was known as the breadbasket of Wales. Number 11. Tŵr Mawr Beach and its rainbow-coloured rocks. When you stand on the beach below the lighthouse, you can easily dismiss the rocks because of the stunning beauty of the lighthouse and the sea. But take a closer look and you'll see another world. A vast array of colours from pinks, purples and reds to black, white and brown, smashed up, mixed up and draped across each other. This is the collision zone where chaos reigned when the tectonic plates crashed together. The whitish-coloured rocks are limestones formed by the death of millions of tiny sea creatures. The odd-shaped lumps are fragments from exploded pillow lavas. From here across to the small lighthouse Porth Tŵr Bach is the colour show that tells of how this plate was dragged deep into the earth's crust, forced beneath another plate and split in two. The different colours show the Earth's processes at their best, with chemical reactions, the physical power of heat and pressure deforming and colouring these rocks, finally resulting in rocks splitting and more lava pouring in through the cracks. Look for the black rocks and white lines of quartz as the lava forced its way through these rocks. Number 12. A raised beach, the end of the story. So this is the bit where we can get the final picture. If the island formed this way, then why aren't we standing at the bottom of the sea now? The clue is in front of you. This is a beach, but not as you know it, because it's nowhere near the sea. It's called a raised beach. After all the turmoil under the ocean, the earth went into an ice age, and the earth cooled to such a degree that huge slabs of ice, miles thick, built up on the surface. As the ice moved across our land, it scoured out softer rocks and left harder rocks, creating our valleys and leaving behind the mountains you can see as you look across to Snowdonia. The weight of this ice pushed down on our tectonic plate, and as the earth started to warm again, so the ice began to melt. As its weight reduced, our plate began to rise until it formed dry land, the island you were standing on. So this beach is a giant fossil, formed when the land was lower, nearer the sea. From here you can see your way back. Follow the beach back to the boardwalk. If the weather is bad or the tide is coming in, there's an alternative route following a forestry road back to the car park. Look out for the sign on the beach.